All right, so last week, real quick, how many of you weren't here last Sunday night? Just so I can know about how many. Okay, so a handful. Okay, well, let me tell you what happened last Sunday night and remind everybody who was here. Last Sunday night, we had a team come in from IHOP, and the main kind of vein in which they operate out of and minister from is a heart of evangelism. And even more than a heart of evangelism, the gentleman who spoke, his name's Josh McDonald, he's an evangelist. And I'll touch on a little bit of what the difference is there in a minute. But so they came and the night just looked different than what we're kind of used to on most Sunday nights. And I was feeling so strongly in the middle of it to get up and kind of tell a little bit about what's going on, because I recognize that sometimes we have a tendency when we encounter new, a lot of times our guards go way up. And even if the new thing is 100% right, it's God, it's more God than the thing you did yesterday, new tends to freak us out. New tends to put us at a little bit of a arm's length to whether we want to receive it or not. And so as a result of that, last last week's service, I just really wanted to touch on and expound on the fivefold ministry calling a little bit. I wanted to touch on that a little and even see how some of that's expressed elsewhere. So I'm really just going to jump in. I'm going to do things a little different tonight, especially we're going to be a little short on time from normal, because we've got our children with us, which is awesome, but it does mean that attention span is maybe a little lower. So if you guys want to turn there, or you can look on the screen, put up Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and this is a passage that I read it last week in the middle of the time of ministry and such, but I wanted to spend a little bit of time tonight talking about what's going on here and what the Lord is doing and what He's saying with this passage, and then some others that are related to it. So Ephesians 4, this is Paul, and in the letter he's writing to the church of Ephesus, he's talking about the Lord being the Lord of all the church, and the ideas that he has about leadership coming forth to help the church and help to get the church to operate the way that the Lord wants the church to operate. And so he says, Christ himself gave, and then he lists off these five ministry roles that we commonly refer to as the fivefold giftings, or the fivefold callings, or something along those lines. Here he says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I think there's probably 20 sermons just in this passage. I mean, there is so much information and meat and directions that you can go. We're not doing 20. We're going to cover just a couple of pieces. One, I had somebody ask me this week about a couple of the different offices that are listed here, and kind of asking, well, what are those? Like, what do those look like? And I realized one of the things that is lacking right now, and I don't know that there's anything that we in our human zeal can do about it necessarily, but one of the things that's lacking right now in the body of Christ is these fivefold leadership giftings operating, especially operating together, and operating in a way that people can identify who those people are, identify what those roles and responsibilities are, and identify how that flows in the church. And again, I don't know that you can just make that happen. Say, well, by golly, and I've heard some say they're going to do it. Like, we are going to reestablish the fivefold ministry calling in the church. Hey, that's awesome. I hope you're called by God to do that, because that's going to be a big endeavor. But one of the things that is a lack, especially in our church structure in America, is people being able to identify apostles as apostles, and for those apostles to be operating as apostles. Same thing with prophets, same thing with evangelists, really same thing with pastors, truly, and teachers as well. And so I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes from this passage identifying what those roles are, so that we just kind of, one, we'll be able to interpret a little bit about what happened last week. Another is that we'll be able to see What some of the lack is in the body of Christ, that it would be really great if these things were functioning and flowing together. And then we'll do a little bit of time on what the latter part of that passage, the until we all reach unity in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature and attain to the whole measure of the fullness. We'll touch on that in a minute. First, I want to point out is that these are leadership roles. Paul, at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, he starts naming some of these, and he says, in the church, God appointed, first of all, apostles. And so here we have apostles in this list, and it's how Christ wants to run the church. One of the things that's a little bit interesting is, in the church in America, we don't really have a church structure that even really allows for all this. And so what we're most used to is we're used to a pastor who kind of acts as the guy who runs the church. And that pastor may either be, you know, have an elder team, or that pastor might have a leadership team like we do here. And that's kind of the normal, you know, way that things are run in kind of the American church. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that we've got God's judgment on us because that's how things are. Because I know enough guys that love Jesus that would adopt a more biblical model if we knew how to do it together. If we all knew how to know how that was supposed to come together. But here the way that Paul describes Christ's appointing of leadership. He says this. He says these five roles are to act to equip God's people for works of service. So real quick, I'm just going to run through the five real quick, just give you a little bit of a touch point. So the apostles, their role in the first century church and all the way until Christ comes back, their role is to really add a measure of headship in governing even all the other key roles, all the other leadership roles. Their job is to help kind of network the body of Christ together. Their job is to provide clear vision for the church and where the church is supposed to be going. Their job is to help the different groups and the different categories of leaders relate together to know how to minister to. The end point is equip God's people for works of service. So the role of the apostles ultimately is to help the whole church grow up into the fullness. That's really, if you just want to get down to it. And each one of these leadership roles, there's not a ton of each one of them, and probably fewest of the apostles. And the reason is because you don't need too many leaders at that level to be able to lead. You don't need 1 out of 10 people being an apostle. That's kind of a silly concept. Second, apostle or prophets. So the prophet's job, those that are called to this office of the prophet, or those that are, you know, are called to be prophets, their job is to hear the word of the Lord and to be able to operate in declaring what God is saying, what God is feeling, what God is doing. And they will often, it's been my experience that many times prophets are some of the odd ducks. I don't know why. It seems like God just picks them that way. He gives them probably the most clear prophetic revelation, and sometimes they are just a little, well, they're just not like you and me sometimes. So they're just a little bit different. But the point is that the prophets are supposed to be hearing what God is doing and saying. And just like we see in Old Testament prophets, they would be hearing from heaven what the Lord wanted to do and say, and then they'd declare it. Evangelists' job is to be a key point in bringing in the harvest. Of their key message is really going to be the heartbeat of Jesus died on the cross for us. We need Jesus. Let's give our lives to Jesus. And they're going to be able to expound on that with a lot more clarity than I just did. But the point of the evangelist is they're going to have a certain bend. Each one of these leadership roles, they're different from one another. They're not the same people. They don't operate the same. They don't lead the same. Their purposes are different. And so, if you've got a prophet and an evangelist sitting in the same room, the prophet's going to be talking about prophecy and the evangelist is going to be talking about evangelism. And the two of them, if they really love Jesus, are going to honor each other's stories. But the truth of the matter is, they're really not going to be near as interested in what the other guy's got to say. Really, the evangelist wants to sit down and talk to another evangelist and hear about taking the word of God to the unreached and the transforming heart, you know, of the unbeliever to see God for the first time. And the prophet really just wants to, you know, hear about and speak forth what the Lord is doing and giving, you know, clarity and direction in the hour for, you know, what the Lord is speaking and saying. And it's just really interesting because God made those guys and gals that way on purpose. And he made them different. The pastor. Now, what we're most used to is the concept of pastor being whoever has the title of the leader guy at that church. That's kind of what we're used to. But really the role of pastor, because there are a ton of pastors that I know that really aren't a pastor according to Ephesians 4. They're a pastor according to American Christianity. We call them pastor and put pastor so-and-so in front of their name on the kiosk outside. And I don't think that's bad, but the pastoral role is really the concept of shepherding. It's the idea of a deep concern for the people. A deep care for what's going on. They may not even really be thinking about the lost. The evangelist is really thinking about the lost. The pastor's role is really to be thinking about the sheep that are in the flock and how to help them and nurture them and grow them and strengthen them and mature them and sharpen them. And they're thinking about the decisions they're thinking about is how is this going to affect the people? How is this going to affect their walks in Christ? It's a shepherding role. That role shepherd is actually interchanged in a couple of places. And the concept is a flock of sheep and a shepherd, and the shepherd's got his stick, and anything that tries to get near those sheep, he whacks. And when the sheep are starting to get out of line, he kind of scoots them in, you know, and if a sheep runs off, he goes after it and gets it. What are you, silly sheep, come here. Because the pastor's role is very much a shepherding, you know, caring role. And I know a bunch of people that are probably more teachers that have got pastor before their first name, and maybe that's not really their MO at all. So, but I'm just trying to give you the biblical, you know, clarification here. And then teachers. Teachers may not actually give one thought to how everybody's going to do afterwards, like the pastor would. The teacher may not really be even thinking necessarily, you know, about the gospel day and night. Like, man, we need everybody to know Jesus. We need people to know Jesus. The teacher's role is really to be thinking about, here's a Bible. It's a good-sized Bible. There's a lot of information in it. How do we get this in them? How do we teach it to them? How can I sharpen my communication skills so I can teach this more clearly? How can I get this package this in a way that it's understood a little bit better? That's really what the teacher's thinking. Now you put those five together, and man, you would have a pretty balanced group of people if you had all five of those roles injecting information into that group of people. Well, in the first century church, that's really what they had. They had these five roles, and you got, you know, the 12 apostles in Jerusalem and a few others that are listed in the New Testament, and then you got some that are known as prophets, and some that are known as evangelists, and some that are known as teachers, and some that are known as pastors, and you've got all of them, and they're kind of interchanging and moving around and helping each other, and so there's these groups that we could liken to today's congregations. They looked a little bit different, but these different callings would go around, and as a result, the congregations of the saints were getting an injection from these different leadership roles. And these different leadership roles, many of them were itinerant. That term just meaning they'd be over here for a while, and then they'd leave that city, and they'd go over to that city and do their thing over there for a while, and then they'd go over that city, and they may come back here a year later. But they weren't, not all of them, but many of them weren't stationed in a specific local congregation. They were moving around. And then there were other leaders, the elders, that would actually be the ones kind of running the church on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis in whatever location. So the reason I'm telling you all this is because last week we had an evangelist in the room, and it looked so different than what we're used to. Good. Hallelujah. What would be my favorite thing is if I had one of each one of these five guys in my back pocket that we could call and rotate around in here. You know, hey, Apostle so-and-so, come on over here and talk to us. Hey, Prophet so-and-so, come on over here and give us an injection. Because the truth of the matter is, when you go back up into Ephesians 4, it was Christ with a keen mind who he thought the best way to lead the church was to have these five roles, have them all be different, have them all be bent different. Have them all have different focuses. Have them all have different agendas. Have them all have different skill sets and giftings in ministry. And these five, for them, all of them, to give injection into the body of Christ so that the people of God might be equipped for works of service, so that the whole body might be built up. Now, here's another point that I want to make on this, because this is just an interesting thing. I'm going to kind of transition into just ministry callings. One of the points here is that the role of these fivefold ministers, and I just, again, I'll say it again, it's to be one of these five that's in like this, these offices, if you will, it's a limited number. It's not one of every five people is one of these things. The entire structure of any business model, ministry, kingdom, nation, the entire structure of anything requires that there be leaders and not leaders. And you have to have a whole lot more not leaders for the thing to work. If everybody's a leader, it doesn't work. The role of these five, and this is something that I want to speak to you. The role of these five is to equip the people to do the work. So while an evangelist really does have an evangelistic bend, like they want to see people come to Jesus, their primary role is actually not to tell people about Jesus. Their primary role is to train the body of Christ to go tell people about Jesus. That's actually the primary role. Now they will secondarily, and you probably couldn't stop them because they've got it in them, but their secondary role is actually to go evangelizing. Because it's Christ who gave these roles to equip his people for works of service. So the same thing with the prophet. The prophet's role isn't merely to hear from heaven and cast a vision. It's actually to bring an injection of the prophetic and to help a community, a church, a group, five people in a living room, to help them grow in the prophetic. It's to equip them to do the work. It's to equip them to prophesy. It's to equip them to hear from the Lord. Now again, you're not going to be able to get that prophet to stop. I mean, they're going to try to hear from the Lord, and they're going to. But the point is that their main function as a leadership role is actually to grow enough in their gifting to be able to then help the body of Christ be able to operate in that gifting. That's what these roles are for. Same thing with pastors, same thing with teacher. So again, the pastors, it's not just, I mean, a pastor, one leader who's got a pastoral heart can really only touch so many people. A pastor that's a really good pastor figures out how to get the community to pastor themselves. A really good pastor injects the pastoral heart. A really good pastor helps get the whole body in that area or that group or that church, whatever, to start thinking pastorally about one another, care for one another. You know what's interesting about these five roles? It's nothing new. It's all very much foundational New Testament Christianity. I mean, that's what it is. The apostles' role, get the kingdom done. Well, I mean, Jesus said, I've come, I'm preaching to you the kingdom of God. I mean, it's like the apostles' role isn't something new. It's just a point person to help push the kingdom forward. The prophetic role, it's nothing new. Paul said, Moses said, I wish all of you were prophets like I am. Paul said, it is better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. The concept of growing in prophecy is a foundational New Testament truth. But the prophet is going to help push that agenda differently than the pastor, differently than the evangelist, differently than whoever else. And so that's the point. So I was kind of stirred last week, and I actually probably want to start praying about how we can, in the different spheres that we're connected to, find ways to get more injection from these other roles. Because this fivefold ministry, when these five leadership roles are operating together, and I don't think together is a church staff, and the church staff is going to have one guy who's an apostle, one guy who's a prophet, one gal who's a prophetess. I don't think that's going to work that way. I think that probably, more than likely, it's going to be relationships within the body of Christ that helps bring unity. And I'm just looking at this going, man, we really need those evangelists to come in and mess us up sometimes. I mean, man, because if I'd have said the exact same message as Josh did last week, Y'all have just been looking at me blankly and giving me a couple double blinks, and then the meeting had been over and we'd all been bored. But it's like Josh comes in and he's got it. It's on him. It's his calling. He's talking about the thing that's burning in him all day and all week long. And it's infectious, you know? Well, it's the same thing with the other leadership callings. So I'm going to skip down to just a little entry point here on until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It is such a mouthful, I'm not going to have time to go into it all, but I'll give you a quick little vision cast here. The gist of it is, God says, I want these five leadership roles to be operating until the body of Christ attains to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And until the entire body of Christ reaches the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, whatever that means, then those gifts aren't done. These things, these five-fold ministry roles, they're in operation today. And we need them. Because we have not reached the fullness. And the point is, we're all to reach this unity in the faith. And this is really what I believe a big piece of what the Lord's going to do in this generation that's going to be different from the generations that preceded us. Before Christ comes back, I really believe these five-fold giftings are going to be operating kind of like in fullness, operating together, operating in unity, and bringing the church up into the fullness of his purposes for her. All right, I'm going to change gears. So, leadership roles and support roles. You know, I said it a minute ago that the role of a leader is to equip the body to do the work. Now, obviously, they're going to have done some of the work along the way to be able to model it, and they'll come alongside. But the primary role of the leader, whether it's one of those five-fold leadership giftings or even other leadership positions, is to equip the body to do the work. Because if you've got a body of Christ that's 500 million strong, or maybe it's a billion, I don't know, the numbers vary depending on a lot of different factors, but let's say 500 million strong, if you can get 500 million believers to be doing the work of the ministry, that is going to be way stronger than the fraction of the body that's one of those five-fold ministry callings. And that's the point. Leadership roles are supposed to get the vision, cast the vision, and then work towards seeing the vision accomplished. So when you're thinking about a leader, and specifically these roles, their main purpose, really, is to get the vision from heaven, cast the vision, and then work towards seeing that vision accomplished. The work of these leadership roles is to equip others with everything they need in order to be able to do the work. I loved it last week. We're in the middle of this kind of intense time, and the evangelist stops in the middle of what he's doing and gives a very clear, here's how to present the gospel, 1, 2, 3, sort of, you know, presentation. Because it wasn't enough to just get us all fired up about evangelism. He wanted to make sure to give us the practical tools that we needed in order to be able to go and do it. And so he gets his buddy, you know, Russell up here, and Russell acts like a lost guy, and they talk back and forth and, you know, about what a conversation would look like in between somebody that you're approaching about the gospel. That's beautiful. Because the role of the five-fold ministry giftings is to help equip the church to then go do the work of the ministry. The essential nature of support roles, you know, the vast majority will not have influential leadership roles. And this is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. I think this is something that a lot of people misinterpret. And I want to spend a minute on it. The Lord has not called every person in the body of Christ to be one of those five-fold ministry roles. We wouldn't be able to get anything done if that was the case. The Lord has called a minority. It's a small percentage. In fact, I dare say, if you don't know that the Lord's telling you you're one of those things, don't even try to become one. It's okay. You don't need to. You weren't supposed to. The Lord will make his calling clear to you. I mean, if you're one of those five roles, he'll tell you that. You'll know. And you'll know which one. The Lord will help you figure that out. But the truth of the matter is, the majority of the body of Christ, it would be horrible if the majority were those five roles. Because if everybody was one of those five roles, the vision could only be as big as you as an individual could actually pull off by yourself. That would be horrible for the kingdom. That would be so limiting. So the leader is the one that gets the vision, then supposed to cast the vision, then supposed to make the vision happen. And the leader is leader of himself only. And the vision then can't be any bigger than what that human being by themselves can pull off. And so you got everybody's got their own vision. Everybody's going their own direction. That's not kingdom. Amen. That's not family. That's not productive. There are 10 reasons why that's a bad idea. And that's not how it is. The majority of the roles in the body of Christ are support roles to the vision that's cast by those within that fivefold ministry. God gives the vision to the fivefold. He says, hey, fivefold guys and gals and whatever, why don't you guys cast the vision, hear it, hear from heaven, cast the vision, and then try to equip people to get the vision done. So the majority of the body of Christ is not supposed to go start a ministry somewhere. The majority of the body of Christ is supposed to get locked into some ministry that already exists and throw their lot in with a vision that they can get behind. The majority of the body of Christ is supposed to go, yeah, that is what the Lord's saying. I'm going to help you. Instead of having to go do it on our own or whatever. I mean, the purpose is that the majority are support roles, and that has nothing to do with value. You know, listen, I'm a leader. I know I'm a leader. It's more of a burden than anything. Can I tell you what being a leader means? I'll tell you. So on this retreat all weekend, leading. I have no voice. I'm not getting any sleep. I am exhausted. We're coming back. We've barely got time to eat to then make it here to church to realize, oh my gosh, I haven't finished preparing yet. I gotta do that right now while I'm totally zonked and exhausted. That's leaders. And if that's not what any leader that doesn't live that way, I question their leadership. Because leadership is head servant. Leadership is die to pull the vision off. And then also you have to work on the fruit of the Spirit like everybody else. You know, which it'd be nice if you could put that on hold and just lead, because then you could just yell, but it doesn't work that way. So leader is hard. It's not, leader is not glamorous. It is not fun. There are so few perks to leadership. It's just a cross. It is a cross, I tell you. So thank you, Jesus, if you find yourself not in one of those main leadership roles and you get to help support the vision. You know, I was just thinking about this and going, I know that so much of our, in our culture, even in our Christian culture, there's this struggle. Well, what's my calling? You know, what am I supposed to do? What ministry am I supposed to go start? What am I? And I just want to say, the first and primary ministry is to Jesus, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you can do that anywhere on the planet. And that's your number one ministry. Number two, if the Lord speaks to you about something that you're supposed to do, some initiative or some ministry you're supposed to, that's awesome. Do that. But I would encourage you, don't go start something. Don't just, that won't work. You'll find yourself hitting your head against the wall and frustrated and burnt out. Just serve wherever you are. Just serve there. The majority of the roles in the body of Christ, you're going to have to hear from heaven to figure out what you are, who you are. The more I look at the roles that are listed in the scriptures that aren't those fivefold, I can come up with 15 or 20 support roles. And the more I think about the 15 or 20 that I see in the scripture, I could think up a number of 30 that I could identify in our church culture that aren't written in the Bible that I go, dude, this thing doesn't work without that. We need that. My point with that is, I do not think there's a list in the scripture that is comprehensive of what your role in the body of Christ could be, might be, is. I think you have to do a few things to discover that on your own. One, if you don't feel the Lord speaking to you, that you're one of those prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, you're not. It's okay. Don't even try. You don't want to be that, I promise. Instead, start asking the Lord, well, Lord, what am I? What am I supposed to do? What is my part? Start actively asking the Lord what your part is, and don't compare it to so-and-so. Don't compare it to the other person. Ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? The Lord may shock you and tell you, you're doing it exactly what I wanted you to do. Well, I don't have a title. My thing that I'm doing is not in the Bible. Just follow God. And it may look so different for each one of you. Just follow God. You know, some of the leader, or some of the other roles are those who serve. Well, what in the world does that mean? Those who serve. I could think of 500 things that could mean. You know, another is those who give. Well, it doesn't say money. Maybe give could be anything. Yeah. It says those who help. The heck is somebody's role who helps? I don't think those are titles like pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. I don't think I think those are descriptions of how to live. And ask the Lord what those things flesh out to look like in your life. So I'd tell you, if you're trying to figure this out, if you feel a little bit of an identity crisis, one, stop feeling an identity crisis. Yeah. You're Christ's. He loves you. You love Him. That's the big deal. What are you supposed to do with your life? Stop trying to find an answer of fit into this term that's in the Bible or this term that's in the local church or this term that's in our culture. Forget all that. Just ask God, God, what am I supposed to do? I've heard some of the most amazing stories of what the Lord did through people who just stopped and said, what am I supposed to do? What's my part? And hearing the Holy Spirit is so valuable. So first suggestion would be stop the pity party. It's okay. The Lord likes you. You don't know what you're supposed to do yet? That's okay. Just ask. So the second would be ask. And then the third would be try some stuff. You know? Well, I don't, man, this didn't work. I got a long list of this didn't work. You know what? Each one of them not only gave me some practical clarity of what I'm not supposed to be doing with my life, but also helped me understand people a little better, understand situations, ministries, outreaches, concepts a little bit better. Because now when I see somebody else doing something kind of like that thing that I was totally not a good fit for, I get it a little bit. That's good. It's helpful. Like, experiment a little. I mean, get permission from the Lord. Don't just sign up for stuff. But it's okay. Serve a little here. Serve a little there. See what works. Some of you, as we're in a season of growth here at this church, some of you who you may feel like, man, I don't think I could ever lead a small group. You just totally feel like that could never be something you could do. You may surprise yourself. I know some great small group leaders that thought there was no way that could be ever anything that they could do or serve. And to go back to what I was saying before about the fivefold ministry's job is to get the vision, cast the vision, and then see the vision done. Part of the vision of this ministry is small groups. I'm just telling you. There's part of what we're doing at Foreigner Fellowship is small groups. So part of what I'm supposed to do is get the vision, cast the vision, and then help you guys do the vision. I mean, it's just part of it. So, I mean, part of what you'll do in life has something to do with where you land, has something to do with where you are, because you're going to help move the vision forward where you are. Let's see, what else I got here? 1 Corinthians 12, we'll finish up with this. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20. And this is where Paul, he's talking about the body of Christ, and he's talking about each role, and he's talking about fingers and arms and eyes and toes and all this stuff. But the gist of it comes down to what your role is, what your specific part in the body of Christ is. And here's what he says. He says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. It's God that's done it. Every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but there's only one body. Why am I leaving you with this? Because whatever role you're supposed to play, it's not less than. It's not, you know, lower. It's not weak. It's not despised. It's God doing something very specifically, purposely, with you and the role you're supposed to play to fit into the body. The truth of the matter is, if we'll be a people that will look at kind of the overall structure, the Lord has appointed these fivefold roles to lead the body of Christ, to cast the vision, and then to equip the body of Christ to do the vision in the various different ways. And that each one of us as part of the body of Christ have a role to play, but we've got to kind of hear God on it. We've got to kind of know, what does the Lord want us to do? Some of those things might look like ministries. Some of those things might look like the way that you run your house. Some of those things might look like a specific position you have, you know, at the church, you know, administration. So the person who runs sound. That might really be what the Lord wants you to do. That's great. But we don't need 50 sound people, so probably not all you're going to run sound. You got to hear from heaven. You got to know what it is that the Lord wants you to do. And then find your place in the body and recognize that the majority of the roles in the body of Christ, for the body to actually operate, for the kingdom to move forward, the majority of the roles have to be support roles. And support roles have to support something that already is. Support roles don't get to make up their new thing. Support roles are supposed to support the thing that's already in place. And so I'll just to kind of encapsulate it all in just a couple of sentences. If the Lord's called you here, help build here. Help build what we're doing. We're not awesome. I mean, we love Jesus well. We love each other well. There's a lot of things we don't do well. But if the Lord's called you here, then be here. Help build here. Help do what we're doing here. If the Lord puts you someplace else, then serve there, do that there. Like, be there. Wherever you are, be there. Like, throw yourself in, and some of the answers to the questions of, well, what's my part? What's my role? Some of it is, ask the Lord. Some of it is, what's the vision of the place that you're at? Some of it is, try a couple of things out and see what it is that maybe the Lord really just, ooh, wow, that's great. I can do that. This is me. Just try some things out. So, Father, I want to ask you, Lord, to just help us as we continue on this beautiful journey of growing up as a congregation together. God, of seeing you move, of trying to identify what you're up to, and God, building the kingdom in this hour. We are so thankful for family, for the Bible, God, for teaching, God, us from your word about what you want to do, and how you want us to live. I just ask you, help this church, God, to take steps towards your purposes, God, in the coming months. And we just ask you, Lord, to guide us, protect us, strengthen us, help us to love one another, instruct our hearts to love you better, God. We just want to love you better. Oh, I ask you, Father, to let your blessing and your face shine upon this church, on these people, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be back next week. Oops. So you guys, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and clear out of here so we can shut this room down and turn.